Srimad also means beautiful. Srimad means respectful, that's a respectable address, like Shri, Srimad, Shriman. It's very respectable if you say Shriman Madhu Gopal. But Srimad also means beautiful. Bhagavatam is very beautiful. That's why beautiful Bhagavatam. Atato. Okay. The beautiful Bhagavatam. Canto. Beautiful Bhagavatam. Canto 4. Chapter 30. The activities of the Prachetas. Text 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhasmat Kriyamanam Stam. Druman Vikshyapitamam Agata Shamayamasam Putran Barhishmato Nayhi Basmasat into ashes Kriyamanan being made Tan all of them Druman, the trees. Viksha, seeing. Pitamaham, Lord Brahma. Agataham, came there. Shamayam asam. Okay, let's try again. Shamayam asam. Pacified. Putran, the sons. Barhishmataham, of King Barhishman. Nayaihi, by logic. Translation purported by Srila Prabhupada. After seeing that all the trees on the surface of the earth were burning, were being turned to ashes, Lord Brahma immediately came to the sons of King Barhishman and pacified them with words of logic. Whenever there is some uncommon occurrence on any planet, Lord Brahma, being in charge of the whole universe, immediately comes to control the situation. Lord Brahma also came when Hiranyakashipu underwent severe penances and austerities and made the whole universe tremble. A responsible man in any establishment is always alert to keep peace and harmony within the establishment. Similarly, Lord Brahma is also allowed to keep peace and harmony within this universe. He consequently pacified the sons of King Barhishman with good logic. Bhagavatam means Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, beautiful Bhagavatam, beautiful Krishna, is all about Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he saw Radharani in every syllable, every word. But that's not unusual if you think, use some logic. There is what is going on when recitation of Bhagavatam is going on. It's like Shukadeva Goswami, is only one of many examples. He is giving, he is reciting these verses. One devotee once said that he likes to think that every verse is another kiss of Shukadeva Goswami on the Krishna's body. So this, what you just read, was another kiss, Shukadeva Goswami. I don't know, personally I like to think it was romantic kiss, not like mother kisses a baby. It's more intense because Krishna is the highest rasa, the highest relationship with Krishna devotees have is love of, you know, like paramour. So another beautiful verse. There's two important concepts that we can learn from this verse. What is happening in this verse? After seeing that all the trees on the surface of the earth were being turned to ashes. So what just happened here is Prachetas burned the forest to ashes. What happened was they became angry. Prabhupada, in the commentary of 16th, first verse, first to third verse of 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he states that anger pollutes entire body. So we can hear in previous, what is previous verse, Samvartaka Ivachaya. Like the fire of devastation at the time of devastation, they destroy the forest with great force. Due to their anger, their activities were polluted, and therefore they destroyed the whole forest. You know. Well, why did first of all Prabhupada comments here that the reason why they wanted to get rid of the forest was to plant something that, you know, to eat, right? You cannot eat cute giant trees. There's two types of trees. One are pious and one are impious. Those who are impious, that's jungle. You cannot get any other benefit from them than fuel. And pious trees, they give shade, they give fruits, and so on. So these were like impiety. Perhaps we could also use this as, we could read it, that we can learn something more from one statement here, that when they saw the world, that was sometime after their father left and left his duties of a king. So it might be that, I'm speculating, but we can learn from this speculation. It might be that irreligion, because the king was not present for some time, the irreligion, the forest of ignorance, might cover the planet. And when Prachetas came from the water, they understood what their duty is to protect religious principles, because they were now the kings. So they destroyed irreligion. So we can learn from this. Whether that was the case or not, I cannot say, but definitely we can read out and we can learn from it. The king's duty is to protect everything, the whole kingdom, from irreligion, from the forest, from the impious forest of irreligion. That's the duty of devotees as well. Brahmins, they protect by their knowledge. The Kshatriyas and other orders of life, other people, everyone. Devotees are above all others, in a sense that they teach everyone else about Krishna, about Brahman. Tattva Brahma Jigyasa. Let's discuss Brahman. If we say this before Bhagavatam class, let's discuss Brahman, is not wrong, but if we say let's discuss Krishna, that's more exact. Krishna also comes whenever there is irreligion, Krishna appears. Paritranaya sadhana vinashachadu, and other things also. Dharma samsthapanartaya, when there is irreligion, Krishna somehow appears. So anyone wants to guess what is the form of Krishna in this age to protect us against holy name? Holy name is the main one. We understand from Chaitanya Charitamrita that holy name is the main one. But Bhagavatam, what can we say? It has a place there. Krishna sadamo pagate dharma jnana divisaha kalau nashtam drishamesha puranarko dunoritaha. After the departure of Krishna, he left accompanied by the religion and, what was it, dharma jnana, religion and knowledge. What happens? Which is as brilliant as the sun, and is meant to remove the ignorance, the darkness of the age of Kali. So we have more, we don't have just one. We have holy name, which is understood to be the main one. We have Srimad Bhagavatam. And what would happen if there wouldn't be those who can realize these two, who can teach others. So these are three most potent. You have also Holy Dham and the deity of the Lord. These are all important, most important ones. Okay, so the anger was there and they destroyed. Basically, I would say that it's important to say that actually it went for the forest, literally, because of the havoc they created. What happened? Brahma came, because that was like big thing happening, havoc. And Brahma came and said, please do not, he used some words of logic. We can imagine what he said. He said, oh my dear, great, 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 I don't know how many times, a few times, great, grandsons, please do not be angry. In just the forest, you can, now you can, well, one of his gestures was also he gave them a gift, because there was one celestial girl that was protected by the presiding deity of the forest. And presiding deity of the forest, he brought this celestial girl to the Prachetas, to Brahma first, and Brahma gave, perhaps the forest personified, was afraid that he wouldn't be burned. So he approached Brahma, and we see this also. Indra, he sent Surabhi cow to Krishna because he was afraid. You know, what is he going to do to me now? You know, I just, you know, attacked his devotees, his most dear devotees. Now I know, you know, too late, what he's going to do to me. You know, what he did to Hiranyaksha. Oh my God, what he did to Hiranyaksha. Oof, what he did to Ravana. Oh my God, I'm in trouble. Okay, Surabhi cow. He likes cows. And then the presiding deity of the trees gave Brahma the gift, and Brahma gave that same gift to Prachitas and to pacify them. Then they became Grihastas kings. There is another important thing here. There is Brahma. How could he react? He is great-grand, great-great-grandfather. He could come and he would say, "What are you doing? You are completely out of the line. You just met Krishna. Didn't you learn anything?" You know? And he would burn them to ashes. He could have relayed. But what did he do? He was merciful. He said, some logic, okay, you know, it's good that you're thinking of, you know, like, you're thinking where to plant the seeds to grow grains, vegetables, and so on, that people will have something to eat. And he gave them a gift, and ruled righteously, and he showed mercy, he was very generous. So this is quality which comes from where or who. We're talking about Bhagavatam, so this is the quality that comes from Krishna. Krishna is all merciful, sometimes Prabhupada says. Krishna is, even when he kills people, that's the expression of his mercy. We see here on one side, Prachitas were angry, didn't show mercy. They were angry. Their bodies were polluted. Their activities were polluted. And on the other side, we have Brahma who comes, "Oh, my dear great-grandsons, with affection, some of you, some, you know, like, this is the system, and it's good to be nice and be merciful." But Krishna, even when he is angry, in this way he shows the mercy. Krishna sometimes punishes, but by the punishment he brings more good. Because whatever, Krishna is absolute. Krishna is pavitram. Whatever comes in contact with Krishna, or whatever he comes in contact with, by his mercy, he comes in contact with different things, then in whichever way she chooses to, then that person or thing is purified. Even great demons. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "I'm so unfortunate. I didn't have darshan of Krishna. I wish Krishna would kill me because, you know, like, some time ago when Krishna was appearing on earth, all the demons got the mercy and I'm left out. You know, all the demons were slaughtered." It's like, by Krishna. He just, you know, I knew that this topic would come up when I was reflecting on this verse, you know, it's just how Krishna does it is just so sweet, so nice. And why he does it is just amazing. I just like the sequence in Bhagavatam where Krishna enters Mathura when he comes first time out of the village. You know, village boys go to the city for the first time. Let's see what's happening. What's new? If there's something we don't know yet. So village boys now, Krishna and Balaram come. And first thing they do is, they make one hunchback lady who likes them very much, very beautiful. That's one thing. One type of mercy. She was converted. She was converted. She actually liked Krishna and Balaram. And when she was in contact with them, she becomes ecstatic. That's different. Being lusty or being ecstatic, even if that ecstasy is shown as lust, is a difference. You can be lusty about Krishna, like Kubja, but because she was in contact with Krishna, then Krishna is merciful, right? So no problem, okay. Because you rendered some service, Then he made her beautiful, and also not just that, he promised that he will see her, because she became ecstatic, and then he became, you know, when one becomes ecstatic in love for Krishna, then Acharyas mentioned that. Where is it mentioned? Anyway, it's mentioned that Krishna becomes obliged to the devotee. So that's another form of Krishna's mercy. So he became obliged because she became ecstatic in love with him. And then he goes on and said, well, I don't look really nice. I wear these village clothes. I need something more. Like, to enter the city, you know, like city people, they're more fancy, you know. And so, yes, we are very, we live in a very advanced city, so we dress in particular way. Yes, so Krishna's thinking, yeah, why not? And what happens is that the washerman comes around, and he was the washerman from the court, like, no, from the palace, from Kamsa's palace, and he was doing the laundry at the bank of Jamuna. And Krishna Balaram said, hey, can we lend some of this nice, you know, clothing here? We need something. Look, you're like all like from the village. We need something fancy. We are entering the, we are invited for the wrestling match. And what he says, the washerman, he said, no way. I don't give. This belongs to the people in the palace. Kamsa, you go away, your village boys. You don't know anything. And Krishna, with a smile on the face. That's why I see him there. It's like smile on the face. Perhaps he didn't even blink an eye with the tip of his finger. In Krishna book, says tip of the. He used his tip of the finger. He didn't even consider to fight. The tip of his finger, he removed the body from the head of the washerman. I think it's so kind of unique way that Krishna, I mean, some kind of interesting way how Krishna shows the mercy. It's like, he's just saying, you know, glorify me. I'm so good, you know. You know, he just like, he says something to him, and then he just like, tsk, and problem solved, and yeah, and they take the clothes, and as if nothing happens. You know, Krishna just says, glorify me, I'm so great, you know, I'm so good, you know. Not great as the maintainer of whole universe, but great as Krishna, you know, I'm Krishna. You know. He's making a statement, obviously, you know, it's like, you know, full of something that devotees derive so much pleasure from. When they reflect on this, it just how Krishna is. He just have a style. You know? He's the cool. I was hearing from Burijan Prabhu in Vrindavan. He was giving lectures on 10th canto for Bhaktivedanta course, and he said, if anyone thinks that is the coolest, you cannot think like that. Because who is the coolest? Coolest teenager, he said. It's Krishna. That position is taken. Undoubtedly, Krishna is the coolest teenager in existence. Existence means material and spiritual. And yeah, he has a point. Definitely, according to our acharyas, it is. That Krishna is the coolest. You know, like, you just think about it. All the girls, you know, Krishna. You know, it's just like one point and focus. There's no one else. You know, nothing else exists. They might have different, and with their families might arrange different things, but, you know, that's like Krishna. You know. So, you know, how cool you must be that all the most beautiful, like, it's described that. Okay, mentioned somewhere that apsaras in the heavenly planets are unlimitedly more beautiful than, you know, anything that any other any other personality in the universe, and that on Vaikuntha they're unlimitedly more beautiful than Apsaras, and that gopis in Vrindavan. And then, you know, like, then it goes like, but it goes like, I don't know, Ayodhya maybe? I don't know. Dvaraka. I think Dvaraka. It's like unlimitedly more beautiful than on ladies on than on Vaikuntha. And then they cannot compare with Braja gopis. So how powerful they are. It's like when Radharani goes to take bath in the lake, then it appears as the sun would come. And perhaps they say moon because Radharani is not hot, she's cool. Her charisma is cool, her effulgence is cool. So, but she looks like a sun with the cold rays, cool rays, and surrounded by more such moons. So it's incredibly beautiful, proud girls. Proud in a sense because girl is beautiful, she knows she's beautiful, right? And they're proud because of that. And they convert this pride to Krishna's pleasure. Because I'm so beautiful, Krishna wants to be so pleased with that. Not just beauty, it's also qualities. Radharani possesses all qualities, and her expansions and her servants all possess all good qualities. It's not only there. It's said that the effulgence, the beauty is not just bodily beauty, it's also someone has good qualities, also looks beautiful, even if body might not be so beautiful. So qualities, they are also a great opulence of gopis. So they all run after Krishna. We can imagine how this happens in material world, but spiritual world, it has different dimension. Their ecstatic emotion, we cannot, in the sense of what kind of quality, like what kind of sphere, what kind of dimension we are talking about here is completely different. Because there one loves Krishna unlimitedly and ever increasingly. It's different dimension. How can you love someone unlimitedly? You can have a feeling that there is a great love there, great attachment to someone, but in the spiritual world, this form that it can be experienced in material takes another dimension, and it's ever increasing ecstasy that gopis and Krishna are experiencing. Everyone is experiencing ecstasy, even Mahavishnu. In Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a section how Mahavishnu, Dvaitacharya, Nityananda, Balaram are deriving pleasure, ecstasy, which is higher comparing to any other. We may think, okay, Mahavishnu, he's enjoying, he is like lying there, Lakshmi is massaging, but according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pleasure that Vishnu is experiencing in devotional service towards Krishna, you know, is an expansion. How does this work? You know, is much greater than the pleasure that he's experiencing by someone else serving him in a humble attitude. And Balaram, that's his great pleasure. He his greatest pleasure. That's why his brother and his greatest pleasure to serve Krishna, to perform devotional service. Of course, what kind of on the level that Balaram is performing devotional service? Because when we say devotional service, we might think of devotional practice that we are performing at the moment. have a devotional service that Brajavasis and Balaram are doing, or Mahavishnu, you know. Imagine Mahavishnu doing, thinking of Krishna in ecstasy, you know, like contemplating his form, you know, it's like, I don't know exactly what he's doing, you know, but that's one of the forms, like, and then he's experiencing so much ecstasy from that. So how cool Krishna is. And that's all only manifestation of his mercy. Well, yesterday we had appearance day of Lord Nityananda. He is the personification of mercy. And Lord Gauranga. Yadunanda Swami said on the class, he said, Lord Nityananda doesn't see anything bad in you. If you have darshan of Lord Nityananda, he will only see good. He will only see, even if you don't know that, you only see the devotee. Well, better don't meet Lord Nityananda. Don't. Because if you meet Lord Nityananda, then, you know, you'll wake up in the morning one day and you'll say, where did I get prema from? How did I become so ecstatic? Where is this? Wow, Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is nowhere. Where's Krishna? We'll go crazy after Krishna. So better don't meet Lord Nityananda. What I just did was, the poets, sometimes they use this sort of prohibition. Like Gopi says to another Gopi, don't go to the bank of Jamuna. There's Krishna. He's glancing here and there. He's holding a flute, three times bent form. He's extremely beautiful. What's happening here? Don't go, you know. You know, when you will go, then you will lose all other interest. You will just be interested in Krishna. You know, don't go. Don't read Srimad Bhagavatam. Because one day, you'll just, your hair will stand on end. You will say, wow, this is so good. I cannot think of anything else. Oh no. Oh no, again, the same thing, you know. Oh yes, you know, finally. My soul is liberated. You know, not just that, you know, I have actually become Krishna conscious. Oh no, I haven't become Krishna conscious. You know, where is Krishna? I cannot feel Krishna. I cannot see Krishna. This ocean of bliss that is seen in these contradictions. So don't get darshan of Lord Nityananda. Yesterday was his appearance day. We got the mercy, to feel the mercy. I was washing pots all day. And I was reflecting how it was, because that was my service, you know, washing and cleaning, and you know how it was like mercy, washing. I don't know. I still don't feel anything. They say you have to feel ecstasy when you're washing, when you're doing service for Krishna. I was thinking, oh no, you know, when is this huge pile of, you know, dirty dishes? When is this going to end? That's the position I'm in, you know. I just, you know, where will this activity, even if it's connected to Krishna, end? You know, I'm in such a miserable condition. I need that I get some type of mercy. Because mercy means I'm not qualified. The judge goes. There's a thief, and he's stealing. And what happens is, he's caught, and he's proven you were stealing. And now police takes him to jail, and now you'll go to the court. And while he's sitting there or two in jail, he's waiting for the time when he will go to the court. He's thinking, "Phew, maybe I did wrong. I did something wrong in the past. Maybe there was something that I did wrong in the past. That's why I'm here. I really don't want to go to jail." You know what's going to happen, you know, like,
like a jail. It's really bad thing to, you know, to be, you know, be bad place to be. It's not, you know. And then when he comes to the judge, the court, and he confesses, he says, look, I am fallen, I am in this material world, I did many things wrong in the past. The responsibility is fully on me. That's what he's thinking. And look, if you don't give me mercy, then I'm lost. So please mercy. You know, judge wouldn't say, you know, I'll give you mercy. But Krishna is different type of judge. You go there, you say, I'm a rascal. Look, I'm sorry. If you don't give me mercy, I'm lost. You know, I'll have to be born so many times. I'll be forced to forget you due to, because if I'm conditioned, I'm constantly making mistakes. I am attached to material enjoyment. I'll be happy to forget about you. You know, I'll be born again, God knows where, you know. And I'll be, you know, I'll thinking, oh, I forgot about Krishna, I'm completely happy. You know, I'll feel I'll feel that I'm happy in this material world, I'll completely forget about, you know. So if you don't give me mercy, you know, what about now, you know? Then it's going to be a problem, because I'm not going to become, you know, conscious of you. I'm not going to become realized. I'm not going to become qualified to chant the holy names properly. I'm not going to become qualified to associate with devotees properly. I'm not going, you know, like, I need this mercy. And if one does this with faith and sincerity, there is no reason why Krishna would not respond. Friend of mine was like saying that since he's praying every day in this mood, I am fallen soul, to Krishna's deity while he's taking darshan, and his life was transformed because that became part of his sadhana, of his practice to pray. And while he was doing that every day, he's telling me, he realized that sometimes he could really open the heart, sometimes he couldn't, you know. He was saying, because that was part of his sadhana to pray to Krishna, I need mercy, I'm fallen. Without your help, you know, like, you know, if you don't extend, you know, for me, you know, it's not going to happen, you know. I'm not qualified to do all these, you know, complicated, although in one sense very simple things like chanting and studying Bhagavatam and worshipping a deity. I'm not qualified to, you know, it's like, yeah, if you don't extend, if you don't send me some help, if you don't come personally, you know, difficult. So sometimes it was difficult to express this with open heart, and sometimes it was easy. And he said that whatever it was, in time he could feel that there is something, something's open. He felt it inside of him, you know, that something's open, because he was sincere, he had faith that this will happen. This is also in Shastra many times, you know, everywhere, you know, in beautiful, you know, Bhagavatam, we see devotees pray in such a way. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is called Lala Samai. You pray for some spiritual perfection and to pray for mercy of Krishna. This means that you give Krishna free choice to do whatever he likes. And Krishna's mercy is transcendental, is spiritual. This means that it will give you spiritual, eternal benefit. It's not Krishna, give me mercy in the form of a car, you know, shopping center right here. You know, that's one thing I really miss in Radha, shopping center. Really need that. You know, you know, I need that type. That's not very sincere. Sincere means that Krishna, you do with me whatever you like, but it's you who will do things. You know. It's not anymore my karma or my bad. It's you who will guide me. You know, I want you, this some way, to guide me. We are personalists. We approach Krishna and say, "Hey, Krishna, look, you know, like it's. I want your hand. I want you to interfere as you like. I want you to interfere. Word interfere might have a connotation there, but when Krishna interferes, Then, you know, like when devotee cuts the finger and Prabhupada says, you should have got much more, the whole arm should be cut off. That's because Krishna's interference, because you're chanting Hare Krishna, you perform some devotional service for Krishna with sincere, with faith. Lord Nityananda was there sitting in Surabhikunj. Surabhikunjete namhat kuleche. He had Surabhikunj. He had namhata. And you came and you sat down. And he's, how much faith do you have? I don't have any faith. You have something. Okay, show me. I don't have anything. Give free. No. You have to show faith. Throw the bucks on the table. Then I'll show you the merchandise. What do we have? You know? Okay, show the bucks. And then, faith was shown. I have this much faith. Lord Nityananda said, okay, faith is important. We do devotional service with faith. And then, what was the point? We get the mercy. Probably that was the point. Okay. So Brahma gives mercy. He's in merciful attitude. There's many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam where devotee was very qualified in one sense, but might have motive, because we see what's the definition of Uttama Bhakti? Definition of Uttama Bhakti is Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navritam Anukulena Krishna Shiranam Bhakti Uttaman. Favorable attitude. Okay. Then no motivation for karma. Okay. No motivation for jnana. No motivation is thrown out of the window. And in favorable attitude towards Krishna. And then we see Dhruva Maharaj. What is his motivation? Oh, no, not very good. What was, like, he just wanted to show, I am worth it, you know. I want the kingdom greater. He wanted to show he's great. But what happened was that somehow his Shiksha Guru, what was his mother or his stepmother, told him, just go to Vrindavan and think of Krishna there, you know, and the sages go there. What was, some say it was, I forgot exactly the name, but that was his stepmother who was not really happy, like, he was complaining, you know, why I'm less and this and that. So eventually he ended in Vrindavan, where it's like still today, it was identified, the place was identified by exalted Vaishnavas, that was where Dhruva Maharaj was meditating. But he was performing yoga, he was focusing on Paramatma. He became so powerful that eventually Krishna decided to do what? To give him mercy. Demigods, everyone was suffocating, like problems, you know, havoc, like here we see. They went to Brahma. Brahma said, okay, I can't do too much, you know, like better just turn to Krishna. And Krishna says, okay, I'll deal with that. Goes down. And it disappears from Dhruva Maharaj's heart in the form of Paramatma. Dhruva Maharaj, where is my Paramatma, the person who I was meditating on, being? And then, you know, he opens his eyes, and what he sees someone who before saw inside, but in superior form. Why I say superior? Because Dhruva Maharaj was just like, you know, what's happening here? You know, like, start to shake, symptoms of ecstasy. That's another form how Krishna shows the mercy. Although the person was not really qualified. There were devotees involved, the demigods were involved, you know, problems happened. There were different things that they enhanced. But, you know, wouldn't Brahma could solve the problem, you know, he could have done it, you know, most probably. Or someone else could do it. But Krishna came and he gave him mercy. And also there was involvement of Narada Muni. Well, we have to know that when Narada Muni is involved, then there is something very interesting is going to happen. And it did. Dhruva Maharaj got full mercy, and he said, I really wanted to have something very useless. But now, when I had darshan, full darshan of the Lord, I think I was so stupid. When he was returning back to see his father after he had darshan, he was thinking like that. As a section in Bhagavad, and he said, what a stupid guy I was. I wanted to have supermarket right on the corner of Radhadesh Castle, you know, and now I got the darshan, you know. That's really stupid, he was thinking. How could I desire something like, you know, having kingdom greater than my grandfather's? But we see the quality of this quality of Krishna, how he gives mercy. So it's many, many instances like that. And in Lord Chaitanya's, I don't want to even start, because just whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is about the mercy. You know, who was qualified? Tell me who was qualified in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's few who were qualified. And some who were materially qualified, and some who are sinful, and some who were extremely sinful, and some were only bewildered, and they were innocent. And when they came in contact with Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, they got the mercy again. It's like Jagai Madai, mercy, mercy. So it's what we should pray for, Krishna's mercy, like we need. You know, it's like, what is the need? Without the mercy, there is effort. There's two things. One is effort. That's why I say it. You have to have some sincerity and some faith in the devotional process, in the forms, the different forms of Krishna that are all around us. Different form. What is different form of Krishna? Just said Bhagavatam is beautiful Krishna. You know, is another form of Krishna. We just need to pray for mercy that these forms, like Gopinath, is another form of Krishna. Another form of Krishna, holy name. Another form of Krishna, by the way, is our eternal companion in the heart. You know, it's another form of Krishna is Brahman, if you want. It's like Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So these are different. And these are forms of Prasadam, is another form of Krishna. Actually, one devotee said that prasadam is actually expansion of life. It sounds different. It's another form of Krishna. It's mercy of Krishna. It's expansion. Krishna expands. When you offer prasad, Krishna accepts. He says, okay, now I'll become prasadam, food, only for you. Only for you I expand. I remember one class of Srila Prabhupada hearing on the audio, of course. I'm a little bit too young to meet Prabhupada, so I was hearing lecture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, now Lord Chaitanya has appeared. That was installation of a deity somewhere in the United States. He said, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Why did he appear? To give mercy. He said, most probably he said that more often, to give mercy to, I don't know, to, I forgot the exact circumstance. It was installation of some deity. Lord Chaitanya, in the form of Radha Gopinath, in the form of Gaur Nithai, he appeared for one reason, to give mercy. In what way he gives mercy? He gives service. And he allows us to pray to him. So, it's 9:15. People are leaving. Although the class is supposed to be 8:45. So the mercy of Krishna. Yeah, we can get these two themes from this verse. One is anger, danger of anger. Don't be angry. This is one instruction here. And the other is mercy. If someone is angry, if there is a problem, we can be merciful like Krishna and help others develop Krishna consciousness And also we see this quality in Krishna, and this should inspire us to engage more in service to him. This is kind of the conclusion. Perhaps I should take one question, if someone has one comment or one question. Yes. Okay. Was qualified, but they became qualified. That's the secret. By the mercy of Prabhupada, he gave the mercy to low-class people in engaging all kinds of gross, sinful and gross enjoyment, being somehow open-minded. But only that would not even, you know, that's not quality. Open-mindedness is one thing, but it's not really a qualification if you're not in contact with Krishna. So who was qualified in New York in 66? You know, no one. But the potential is there, because potential was there, and Prabhupada brought out the potential within devotees. Their talents, he used their talents for service of Krishna. This wonderful example. And they became qualified. They got the mercy, and now they're getting more and more mercy. And they became, some of them became independent in preceptors of mercy. They can acquire the mercy. They can get as much mercy as they need, as they want, for themselves and for others. Yes. Yeah. The statement is that Prabhupada said that Krishna sent me only low-class people, but what can I do? I bless them and they will serve Krishna and they will work for spreading Krishna consciousness. But that, of course, is not the mercy of Krishna. Prabhupada was transforming people's life. It's not that they were forever low-class. Many people who joined today, many people who joined in the past, Krishna consciousness, a movement, they were low class, and it's not very polite to, if you have a person and we could see that a person was doing nonsense in the past, but now he's devotee, he's dedicated to service to Krishna, we cannot point this fault out because the heart was transformed. Devotees developed qualities, good qualities of a devotee, and so on. So, it is definitely like that. We need to give those who have Krishna as much as you have. You can give, even if you only know a Krishna's personality of Godhead. What was the girl in Prabhupada's pastime who was told to preach? And she went around and she said, "You know who is Krishna?" And everyone, she was a small girl, and said, "No, who is Krishna? He is Supreme Personality of Godhead." And she went to someone else. Malati's daughter, I'm not sure, but that was the pastime there. So even a child got the mercy, and even a child could give the mercy in a sense that, you know, even the child inspired someone else. Oh, this is so sweet, child preaching Krishna consciousness. You know, on some level, that was preaching. And that was a connection with the mercy. Okay. Thank you. Prabhupada ki jai. Beautiful Krishna ki jai. All glories to the assembly devotees. Thank you.